Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brett Napier on CBS Sports Radio.
From the Quicken Loans studios, this is the Jim Rome Show, Mortgage Confidently with Quicken Loans. Open segment until we get Ian Thompson on at the end of this third hour. You can give us a shout at 800-636-8686. You can email the show, Rome at haveittake.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at Grant Napier Show. We'll get to some phone calls in a little bit. I'm going to talk about, we're talking NBA free agency, and I also think that there are some people that are, enough of LeBron James. I get that. And I'm going to bring up something else in a minute, but we will obviously stay on this as a hot story. And we're trying to follow as it changes almost every hour with who's going where and NBA free agency. It is absolutely crazy. Something else I want to get to, and it has to do with what we saw over the weekend with Tiger Woods at the Quicken Loans event in Potomac, Maryland, shooting a 66 yesterday. Here's the deal with this tournament over the weekend. The best golfers in the world were not there. And Francisco Molinari played out of his mind yesterday. You know, he was trying for a course record 61, had a great birdie opportunity at 18. He gets a 62. And so he wins by, eight strokes. But you're not going to see guys shoot 62s on Sundays every week. Is Tiger, did he figure out the putter? It did not look like so on Thursday. The long putts yesterday were falling, but he missed an inordinate amount of putts inside 10 feet. And so the reason why I'm bringing this up is it's July. And so now we turn our attention to the next major, which is coming up in just 3 weeks at Carnoustie, less than three. And so do we take Tiger based on what we've seen glimpses and say, yeah, he's got a legitimate shot at Carnoustie? I personally am not ready to go there just yet because he's having one round out of the four where he's putting himself behind the eight ball. Like he starts out with an even par on, in day one. Well, he's 6-7 shots back and he's tied for 40th or 45th. That's really tough to overcome. It's great for golf. We get that. It's phenomenal for golf. But you can't have one subpar round and win a golf tournament. Now, there are too many great golfers. I mean, we saw it again yesterday with Molinari. I mean, come on. You know, we see that type of, look at Tommy Fleetwood at the final round at the U.S. Open. Right, with a chance to get the course record. You know, you're always going to have that guy that jumps out of nowhere and has the round of his life. And if you're starting off the tournament after round one, 6, 7, 8 off the pace, you have that one guy that has that round in their bag, not going to catch him. Now, Tommy Fleetwood didn't win the U.S. Open. We get Brooks Koepka did, but the point is you cannot play a bad round. And listen, let's face it. An even par for the PGA Tour is a bad round when guys are shooting 64s and 65s. It is what it is. You know, if you're shooting even par for a pro golfer, that's a bad round. Now, it's not a bad round if you're playing at the U.S. Open, but if you're at the Quicken Loans, that's a bad round because you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. But it is good for golf. And again, with all the free agency news, we kind of get lost on Tiger shooting a 65 on Friday and then following it up with a 66 yesterday. He is making ground, but he still has a ways to go. All right, a couple of emails. You can email the show at rome@haveittake.com. Grant, the NBA can improve playoff parity by reducing the number of games in a series to 5. I'll take your answer off the air. Drew in West L.A. TV money. You see what the contracts are going for right now? Not going to happen. Not with television and the amount of money in the NBA. TV dictates the games. TV dictates that they're best of sevens. I agree with you. I think the first rounds would be great if they had it the way they used to be, best of five. But I don't see that happening. Drew in West L.A. is a Laker hater. He wants to know, is LeBron to the Lakers similar to Albert Pujols going to the Angels and having nothing left? Excuse me? Did you see LeBron James last year? Did you know that he played in all 82 games? Did you see what he did in the postseason? That it was like men against boys, that he dominated every series, and that he was an unstoppable force and had arguably the best postseason that we've seen in recent memory. Yes, he did not win the championship. Here's what I know about LeBron James. He's a L.A. Laker right now. There are 29 other teams that roll back the Brinks truck and roll out the largest red carpet in the history of red carpets to have LeBron James play for them. I would not compare him to Albert Pujols for a variety of reasons. First of all, I wouldn't compare a basketball player to a guy that comes up three times a game or four times a game. I mean, it's a whole different scenario. We get that. But no. Now, will LeBron's play start to decline? Think about the attrition on this guy, right? Think about what he's done playing every year until basically the middle of June, and the wear and tear on a body like that. And fortunately, he was able to be injury free a year ago. I mean, he's a freak with his fitness regimen. We get that. But yeah, at some point, LeBron James is not going to be LeBron James anymore. We get that. But to Albert Pujols, no. I don't say that. Somebody says that, Grant, this is from Dom. Would you say this could be LeBron's toughest season ever, factoring in age, supporting cast, and playing against the talent in the West most nights? That's a great question. That's a great question. Yeah, it may very well be his toughest season ever. I don't know if I could put it over the last 4 years of Cleveland, or let me back that up. I don't know if I could put it in front of the season where they won the championship and the pressure that was on this man to deliver for his city after he left the first time and went to Miami. I mean, I can't imagine the playoffs leading up to that year and then being down 3-1 and having to win a game 7 on the road. So I don't know if I could put it past that, but if you're looking for a season in its totality, knowing what we know now with the Rockets roster and the Lakers roster and the Warriors roster, and the fact that you're right, he's going to be going against Oklahoma City 4 times. He's going to be playing against Houston. He's going to be playing against Utah. You know, he's going to be playing against, you know, even the Portlands of the world and the Minnesotas. It's a great point. As the roster stands right now for the Lakers and the expectations that are going to be put on LeBron James, you know what? You could be spot on there. It's a great question. Grant, the craziest thing about the association is that the NBA is this popular when in actuality the last 2 years have been an absolute snore fest when it comes to competitive playoff basketball. Can you imagine the potential if this year the fans get tight games and some game sevens during the NBA playoffs? Well, partially true what you said. Now, this year we did have game sevens in both the East and the West. The problem is the preceding games were awful. And the game 7 between Boston and Cleveland was not exactly the greatest thing you've ever seen when it comes to NBA basketball. Like, if you're a coach and you want to show great basketball to a bunch of young people getting ready to play the game, you're not going to show them game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Nor are you going to show them game 6 or game 7 of the Rockets and the Warriors if you're trying to teach someone how to shoot the ball well. You are not going to go back and look at the video of game 6 and game 7. And I would agree with you. I would agree with you that this year's NBA playoffs were not great. And unfortunately, NBA game 1 finals was a travesty with the way the game was called down the stretch. It was awful. And I'm a huge supporter of what the refs do. I've always been pro-official. I think they get criticized way too much and unfairly, and I just think it's unfortunate. Again, when I start seeing athletes play perfect games, at that point, I'll start expecting my officials to call perfect games. But I have never seen an athlete, with the exception of a pitcher, that throws a perfect game. But I'm talking about basketball. I'm talking about football. I don't see perfection from athletes. I see guys miss free throws. I see guys turn the ball over. Right? And we say that's okay. So I'm not going to get all bent out of shape when an official misses a call. But what we saw in game 1 down the stretch was awful. There's no other way to say it. That was horrible. That was bad officiating. And in my opinion, that cost Cleveland game 1. And if Cleveland wins game 1, at least we have a more interesting series. And oh yeah, by the way, LeBron doesn't punch the whatever and damage his hand. Now, I don't think that had any bearing on Golden State sweeping that series, but it didn't help. So that is a very good statement, that NBA free agency. And I don't know if you were with us, Clones, in the first hour, but I had Marv Albert on. And I asked him about free agency, and Marv said, you know, you're getting to a point now where free agency is actually more interesting and more people are caught up in it than at, you know, junctures during the regular season. And he's making a good point. But I would say this year in the regular season. All right, here are the games that you already want to circle on your calendar. Anytime Boston plays Philadelphia, you want to circle those games. Unfortunately, those are the only two games in the East that, you know, you have to see. No disrespect to Toronto, Washington, Milwaukee, but the majority of fans are not going to get caught up in watching, you know, Orlando play the Bucks or, you know, Detroit playing Washington. But you are going to watch Philadelphia and Boston. Those games will be on national TV. They'll be can't miss. In the West now, you know the Lakers are going to be on national TV the maximum number of times. All their games against Golden State, you probably see, right? Aren't we going to see Golden State and the Lakers on Christmas Day now? We're certainly not going to see Cleveland on Christmas Day anymore. So you're going to see LeBron play. I mean, I would guess. They didn't ask me to make the NBA schedule, but I got to believe you're going to see Golden State, Houston. You're going to see Golden State, the Lakers. I think the Jazz are an unbelievably interesting, intriguing team. You're always going to see Oklahoma City with Russell Westbrook. I mean, you know, I'm not even talking about Minnesota, and I'm not even talking about Denver. Denver didn't even make the playoffs last year. And think about that for a minute. I mean, there are no nights off in the West for the most part. For the most part. Not the same story in what LeBron was experiencing in the East. All right, via Twitter, Grant, the Cavs are now 500-1 to win the NBA title. But James Harden is the most valuable player. LeBron James literally defines value. Harden should ship that trophy to LeBron right now after the new odds come out. Listen, I've said this for year after year after year. The MVP of the league is LeBron James, and he should win it every single year. The name of the trophy should be changed, or there should be two trophies. Most outstanding player during the regular season and most valuable player are two different things, in my opinion. LeBron James has been, for the last number of years, not even close, in my opinion, the MVP of the league. Now, this is based during the regular season. Now, here's the other deal about James Harden. He didn't vote for himself. James Harden was voted by the voters, so you can't blame James Harden for that. Gotta love Grant Napier talking about the classic broadcasters on the jungle. I still miss Bill King calling Oakland sports to this day, man. That's from Trevor, Kings fan since 85. Bill King was great. Here's what's great about Bill King, the late Bill King. There are a lot of broadcasters that are really good at one sport. You can take a football announcer or hockey or baseball or basketball. You know what defines, in my opinion, an announcer that is very good to great are the guys or gals that can call multiple sports and you can have a debate which is their best sport. If you're from Northern California and I take a poll and I say, Bill King, better baseball announcer, better football or basketball announcer? He was great with the Raiders, the Holy Toledo. You know, there were so many great plays in Raider history that Bill King called. The Warriors. There are those that swear that Bill King's the greatest basketball announcer to ever live. Go ask that. Take that poll in Northern California and see what they say. And then he was a longtime announcer for the A's. When you can be great, not good, when you can be great at three different sports, wow, that's saying something. Good job there with Bill King. We'll come back. 800-636-8686. If you want to get in, the final opportunity will be next segment because we have Ian Thompson coming up in the final segment of hour number three. Grant Napier rolling right along here on the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Barbasol razors. Barbasol, that's right. Barbasol is finally making razors. That's a no-brainer. Check out the new Barbasol Ultra 6 Plus with six ultra-thin blades. Save on the Ultra 6 Plus at Barbasol.com. I know by the end of the week, everyone's going to be so tired of talking about LeBron James, unless you are a Laker fan and living in SoCal. But an interesting aspect to this, the comparisons that we all make between LeBron James and Michael Jordan. I know that Bill Russell always goes, hey, over here, I got 11. But you look at the debate that will go on forever, because who decides who the best player of all time is? If LeBron really wanted to win titles, would have he chosen the LA Lakers? I mean, he's 33. How many more, what you would call quality years, does he have left? Two, three, and then after that, it's he can play, but he's probably not going to be able to dominate, but I don't want to put anything past LeBron James. So the narrative was, okay, if LeBron is all about championships, he wouldn't have chosen the Lakers, right? I mean, if he really was all about championships, he would do what Kevin Durant did. He would figure out a way to go and play for Golden State. Or he would choose Philadelphia. Because I think if you took Philadelphia with LeBron James on it, that would be very intriguing to me. Let's face it, that would be a better chance than he would have right now with the Lakers. Now, again, things could change tomorrow. We could, you know, come on the air tomorrow and we could be talking about the trade that the Lakers just made to get Kawhi Leonard. But I don't have a crystal ball any more than you do. I'm going by the way the roster looks right now. So if you think that LeBron just is chasing titles, this move would tell you that he's not just chasing titles. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, this is a move for his family and for his business empire. Because you must look at LeBron James, and when we talk about business empire, look at Magic Johnson. Look at what Magic Johnson did with his basketball career and turning it into a business venture and really a business empire. And that's what LeBron James, to me, is all about in terms of going to Los Angeles. It's pretty obvious. I don't have to go into the advantages of that over Cleveland. So when you think about LeBron James chasing history, I don't think LeBron James is chasing history here. I think LeBron James, to himself, gets where he falls into greatest of all time, that he's always in a conversation. I think that his accomplishments speak for themselves. And if he's able to go to Los Angeles and do what he did in Miami and in Cleveland, although it'd be very difficult to compare anything to what he did in Cleveland, but if he's able to take this team with this youth and within two seasons win a championship, that may be the greatest accomplishment that he has ever taken. I mean, think about this. If he's able to win a championship in L.A. with the Lakers, let's say within 2 years, now that's saying something. Now, I think the Lakers have a very good nucleus here. I still think Lonzo Ball, and again, the critics out there taking 19-year-old players and, you know, red flagging them, and stop it already. The kid's 19. He's a kid. You take a look at Brandon Ingram. You take a look at Kyle Kuzma. Don't know what about the situation with Randall. If you add via free agency Kawhi Leonard to that mix next year, now you would lose something. You wouldn't be able to keep everybody. But is that good enough to win an NBA championship? And if it is, and you can beat the Warriors, who are still going to be in their prime next year, that's a heck of accomplishment. All right, let's get to Indiana and Skipper. Skipper, you're on with Grant Napier here on the Jim Rome Show.
How you doing, my friend?
What's up, Skip?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm a big Indians fan, and I'm hoping they'll win a world championship this year. It's going to be tough with the Yankees and the Red Sox. But going on to LeBron, you know, I'm kind of disgusted him leaving. You know, he did win a championship for Cleveland, but I can't blame him for what that owner said. I mean, it's disgusting that what LeBron did for that franchise, and he told him, well, I hope I can get my team back, let him go.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Skipper. I didn't see any substantial reports of that. The reality is that the owner, Dan Gilbert, put out a very nice statement last night about LeBron James. Listen, when we're dealing with egos in pro sports, you're dealing with a lot of egos, okay? Some are very large and others are, you know, but let's face it, there's a lot of ego involved when it comes to owning a professional franchise. What LeBron James did for that city, forget about the Cavalier franchise, what he did for that city is amazing. I saw a couple of weeks ago, Darren Revelle, the business reporter for ESPN, said that no athlete in the history of team sports has done as much for a city economically as LeBron James has done for Cleveland. Now, think about that for a minute. Think about that statement. So what he did for the Cavaliers goes, you know, you don't have to state that. Think about the economic impact and the city of Cleveland and now what they face. I mean, wow. And as far as the Indians, I mean, I don't know what's happened to the Indians. They are so lucky they play in a horrible division. The Indians last year couldn't beat the Yankees. I doubt very much they're going to beat the Yankees or the Red Sox this year. Now, again, the trade deadline's coming up in a couple of weeks. But when you look at the Indians, what has happened to that team this year? They almost got swept in Oakland over the weekend. By the way, Oakland, what a story they are. No one even knows who's on the team. And what are they, 7 games over .500? In the toughest division in baseball, I think. I mean, I think that's the most balanced division in baseball. I know you can say the AL East with the Yankees and the Red Sox, but when you look at Houston and how well Seattle's playing this year. Adam, you know their team in Seattle by any chance? Let's see. What team would that be? Have they ever won? No. Hey, they've been to the playoffs 4 times in 40 years. Oh, my. The Mariner fans, they're suffering. Oh, my goodness. I didn't even realize that. 4 times in 40 years? How about that? 17 years not making the playoffs. Have I told you that I do the Sacramento Kings games and I know what playoff droughts are all about? Okay, so you're not getting any sympathy from me, buddy. Oh, my goodness. Wow. I didn't realize that. 4 times in, you said 40 years? How many years? 4 and 40? That is incredible to me. Wow. Well, here, you know what? Here's the deal. They're not going to win the division. We all accept that. They got to win one game. And then they win one game. They win one wild card game. Here's the problem with that. The wild card game is going to be against the Yankees or the Red Sox. And you're either going to be at Fenway or you're going to be at Yankee Stadium. Oh, wow. How about that, huh? Wow. So if you're going against the Yankees, you may go against Luis Severino. And if you're going against the Red Sox, maybe they set it up so you got Sale on the mound. That's going to be a tough order for Seattle. But it's one game, right? One game. That's all you got to do. That's beautiful. Wow. I honestly did not realize the drought up there with the Mariners was 4 playoff appearances in 40 years. Wow, I knew they had a lean go of it. I didn't realize it was that bad. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk with Ian Thompson. He's got a book out that is very interesting about the NBA. That's coming up as we close it out here on this Monday. And boy, crazy, crazy news around the NBA. But right now, we have our latest sports update. Boy, hard to believe it's already the final segment on a crazy, crazy 48 hours or so of NBA free agency. There's a book that Ian Thompson has out. Ian, a longtime NBA journalist and writer. It is called The Soul of Basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA, and I wanted to talk to Ian about that and a couple of other things as he joins us here on the Jim Rome Show. Ian, great to have you on. It's Grant. Oh, not here yet. We'll get to him in just a minute. While he does that, let me tell you about O'Reilly Auto Parts, Ask the Pros, because it is time to answer your Ask the Pros question, where you, the clones, get to submit a question at cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. This is from Freddie in Seattle. Grant, what is your favorite basketball arena to visit during the season as the Kings broadcaster? Also, what arena do you no longer get to visit that you wish you could? I'll do the second one. That's easy. Chicago Stadium. The old Chicago Stadium. Awesome. As Frank Layden, when he coached the Jazz, called the walk from the bus to the locker room at Chicago Stadium, the toughest 10 yards in basketball. For me, my favorite is going to Madison Square Garden. The energy in the Garden is unbelievable, even though the Knicks stink. I'm from there. It's got special meaning to me. But the one building that I miss more than any, the old Chicago Stadium, it was awesome. All right. Now we do indeed welcome the man that I was just talking to you about. Ian Thompson has covered the NBA for a long time. The book is The Soul of Basketball, The Epic Showdown Between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk That Saved the NBA. Ian, it's great to have you on the Jim Rome Show. Thanks very much. How are you?
Great, Grant. How are you?
I am doing good. I want to talk to you about your book in a minute, but the free agency period here has been crazy. What's your thoughts about LeBron James going to the Lakers?
I just think it's great in every way. It's great to have the Lakers back to being relevant. It's great to think about another iteration of the Celtics-Lakers rivalry. It's gonna be really interesting to see this partnership between Magic Johnson, to whom LeBron was always compared, more so than Michael Jordan, and now they're working together in L.A. To see the idea of LeBron recruiting other free agents in future. Kevin Durant's going to be a free agent next summer. 2 years later, Anthony Davis is going to be a free agent. There's all sorts of possibilities here, and I just see it all as being good.
Before we talk about the soul of basketball, the Warriors called a super team. The Lakers are clearly not there yet. Is this a lot different than what we saw in the 80s with the Lakers and the Celtics? What is your thoughts on super teams, and are they good for the league? Is it good for the league, or is it bad for the league when you only have three or four teams every year that really are capable of winning a championship?
Yeah, I think it's always been that way in the NBA. In the 80s it was. People talk about that as the golden era, and that's exactly how it was, and no one seemed to care at the time. It was just focusing on these great players playing with other great players and the matchups that you look forward to. And I think that is going to exist now in L.A. I don't know how much longer it will exist at Golden State. I don't know how long these things can last these days with all of the cap limitations and just the wear and tear of going to the finals every year, which makes LeBron's 8 in a row all the more amazing. You know, it's a big difference between when this whole idea of super teams that probably started with in the modern times with the Celtics back in 2007, and then LeBron put together a team in Miami, and then he brought guys together again in Cleveland. This time he's just going off by himself. He doesn't have anything set up. He's his own super team, and everybody else is going to be coming to play with him.
All right, let's talk about the soul of basketball. We have a mutual friend, Jim Stamos, and he said, you know, if you were living in a cave for 10 years and came out and wanted to know everything about basketball that you missed, he said, this book would have you covered. Give me the essence of this book.
It's about that 2010-11 season when LeBron was a real insecure guy at that time compared to today. And he'd spent his whole young professional life being compared to Michael Jordan, and he tried to live up to that. He did a TV show, The Decision, that we all remember, to announce that he was leaving Cleveland to go to Miami, and the whole country turned against him. He went from being the guy who was supposed to be the savior of the NBA to its villain. So this is a story of all the different people, from Pat Riley to Kobe Bryant to Doc Rivers and the Celtics, Greg Popovich, all these different people who sort of kick LeBron's butt in good and bad ways and taught him all the lessons that he needed to learn to become the player he is today. And it's so different. He did that TV show. He was really trying to milk the hype back then in 2010. And how does he announce it now? It's like a two-sentence press release.
Right.
He wants none of that drama anymore.
Hey, we live in a society, in an era where we have to compare and make comparisons. Who's the greatest? Who's that? I know it's not possible to come up with the greatest player of all time. But I'm curious, for someone like yourself that's covered the NBA for as long as you have, do you roll your eyes when you hear people still critical of LeBron James?
I do, because I just don't know what he's done wrong. You know, there's certainly never been any criminal offense. And when you look at all the charity work he's done in Cleveland, or in Akron, I should say, and elsewhere, that's all been amazing. I think that's really unprecedented among professional athletes. And then the fact that the guy came in and from the age of 17, 18, he was supposed to be the greatest ever. And instead of running away from that, he had it tattooed on his back. He had the Chosen One tattooed on his back. He embraced it, and it has caused a lot of pain for him personally, I'm sure. Being compared to this guy, being compared to Michael Jordan, especially when his game didn't match up with Michael's. He was always more like Magic. He was always more of a passer. And Pat Riley told me he'd said that to LeBron when they first got together in Miami. You're more like Magic Johnson. But look what LeBron's turned into now, Grant. He's
oh boy,
every bit the scorer at the end of the game that Michael Jordan was. He's every bit the passer, playmaker that Magic Johnson was. I don't know if he's the greatest player yet, because that's based on achievement to me, but he is the most talented player, I think, in the history of the game.
Ian, I was blessed to call his very first game. His first game in the NBA was at Sacramento, and in the middle of the telecast, my broadcast partner, Jerry Reynolds, said, we're watching a guy that's going to go down as maybe the greatest player in the history of the game if he stays healthy. And what's so unique, you can't always forecast that with, and again, we're talking about someone that came right out of high school, but with him from day one, it was so apparent that he was just going to be a superstar.
Yeah, and he even had the body at that age. He was developed as an NBA player back then, and he didn't have a jump shot back then, right? And now he's turned into the best mid-range shooter in the league, and he's lethal from the three-point line when it really matters. But I just think about all the pressure that he has taken on, all the criticism that he's had early in his career, a guy that naturally wants to please people, and he's learned to instead of being weakened by all that, it's strengthened him. It clearly has, and I just really think we're never going to see a guy like this again, and I think it's really setting in on people now that he should be watched in those terms. You know, it's no longer comparing him to Michael Jordan. It's going to be everybody else coming after LeBron is going to be compared to LeBron now. The Michael Jordan era is over, and now it's all about LeBron.
Ian Thompson is the author of The Soul of Basketball, the epic showdown between LeBron, Kobe, Doc, and Dirk that saved the NBA. There's one aspect in the book I wanted to ask you about. You made reference, and I may have the number incorrect at the moment, but I want to get you to this topic, is that if you go from 1979, when the Sonics won the championship, with the exception of the San Antonio Spurs, all of the champions of the NBA have been in top 12 TV markets. In other words, big market cities. Again, Spurs being the one team that you would not make that claim about. What does that say about the NBA right now? I mean, does that mean the Sacramentos of the world and the Utahs of the world, as great as they were at one point, are not going to win a championship? The data suggests that it's not going to happen. What are your thoughts on that?
It's just so difficult until some kind of a hard cap is put into place because of the disparity difference in the money. You know, L.A., the TV money they get, as you well know, Grant, is so different from Sacramento or the other places.
Sure.
The one good sign is, you know, Paul George wanting to stay in Oklahoma City, Russell Westbrook wanting to stay in Oklahoma City. What we've seen over the last few years, almost all of those guys, they leave small markets to go to big markets. LeBron, for the first time, has done that. You know, when he left Cleveland to go to Miami, he was not going to a big market. Miami was not one of those, like, supermarkets, but he's done that now. And until they can find some way to share the money the way the NFL has always done, I think that there's always going to be this hardship for the smaller markets. And so if you're one of those smaller markets, you have to be really disciplined and really smart, which is exactly what San Antonio's done. They've also been really lucky, but they've made the most of their luck. They've been very disciplined and very smart and very focused. They know exactly who they're going for. And they still do. I think you're seeing that discipline now carry over into this whole Kawhi Leonard escapade, and they're not rushing along to somebody else's demands. Just because Kawhi wants to be traded, they're not necessarily trading him yet.
You know, it's interesting you talk about Kawhi Leonard, because as we talk with Ian Thompson, the author of The Soul of Basketball, that's a franchise, well, really ever since Pop's been there, that you would look at that really didn't have any blemishes. You never heard any bad things coming out of San Antonio. They didn't want the notoriety. They didn't pat themselves on the back. They didn't put billboards up. It wasn't important to them. The only thing that was important was winning, and they didn't care whether they got attention or not. This is so foreign for this franchise. What do you make of it?
It is, and I think it just shows that no one's immune, and the market forces of the league and all the money and the different opinions that come into play that didn't used to exist, you know, and the players relying on advisors and different voices come in. When When Tim Duncan was a free agent in 2000, Greg Popovich told me this. It's in the book. He and Tim Duncan, he talked Tim Duncan out of leaving to go to Orlando. Tim Duncan was going to go to the Orlando Magic in 2000 as a young player. And Popovich talked him out of it. They met in the backyard for a couple nights, and they just talked late into the night, and they worked out all their differences, and they figured it out man-to-man. And I just think that's really, really hard to do now in these days with so much money and so much attention on players, and it's an entertainment industry now, and there's more advisors and agents and different agendas and all that, and it's just more difficult. What the Spurs have going for them is they know that their system works, and they know their way of evaluating players works. It worked. It helped them turn a 15th pick in Kawhi Leonard into the star, and I bet they believe that, okay, if they lose Kawhi now, they can just go out and find another one.
Ian, talk to me about Dirk Nowitzki. I've always marveled at him. I've respected and appreciated him as much as any player that I've ever covered. When I say Dirk Nowitzki, you say what?
Humble. He had to be talked into it every step of the way. And he was the last one to believe in himself, really, in a lot of ways. So a lot of people saw his potential before he saw it himself. And when he was coming up, first of all, he was worried about even coming to the NBA. And when he came, he did not want to be a leader of the team. He was glad to have Michael Finley be the leader of the Mavericks. And then when Finley left, he was glad to have Steve Nash be the leader of the Mavericks. And he had to talk himself into being a star. And when he wins the championship in 2011, Grant, he disappears into the visitors' locker room in Miami, and he's sobbing. He's overcome by the emotion of winning. And a couple of people have to beg him to come back out to accept the trophy. It's so different from the LeBron James experience. LeBron came into the league as a guy who was supposed to be great, and Dirk came into the league as a guy who didn't believe he would be. And they meet in that finals in 2011, and LeBron's the guy that wanted to make a TV show out of being a free agent. Dirk's the guy who didn't want to go on stage when he won the championship.
Unbelievable. Ian Thompson, the name of the book is The Soul of Basketball. Last thing for you, LeBron James going to L.A., people talk about chasing titles. He's not chasing titles by going to L.A., is it? Is this more of a business empire type of a move just to be in a big market? Because as you stated, they're not close to winning a championship, at least the way the roster exists right now.
I actually think he is chasing titles.
Oh, Grant. You do? Okay.
Yeah, because in this sense, if he'd stayed in Cleveland, he was not going to win another championship. And so he's going to a place where he knows they've won before. He knows they know how to win, and they have everything they need to build a team up fast. So they're probably not going to win it this year. You look at the roster mm-hmm. and see how they could. I could see them winning it the year after, though. They make some more moves. They get another star in. They find a couple of players, and everybody that plays with LeBron is always better. Just to refer back to the book one more time, Larry Bird was running the Pacers back then, and he had a guy, David Morway, who kept wanting him to trade for LeBron James's teammates. And Larry Bird says to the guy, look, we don't trade for anybody that plays with LeBron. Those guys are just so much better because they're playing with LeBron. They're not as good as they look. And I think the Lakers will benefit from that for sure.
Ian, phenomenal. Thanks very much for coming on. Have a great fourth. The name of the book, folks, is The Soul of Basketball. Be good. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Grant.
Ian Thompson. And that wraps up a fun 3 hours. My thanks to Adam Hawk and Alvin DeLauro. You guys are awesome. Love you guys. Tom DeCelestino back in New York. Hey, 303 Automotive is a premium line of protectants and cleaners designed to keep your car looking new and lasting longer. Available at most auto part retailers or visit 303radio.com. Marv Albert, Marvin Bagley, Sam Amick, and Ian Thompson, thank you for making this such an easy 3 hours. I enjoyed it, and thanks for listening. Grant Napier, In the Jungle, the Jim Rome Show. He was back on Thursday on CBS Sports Radio.